Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. First Brexit, now Boris. Has the sun finally set on the British Empire?
Well, it's certainly another chapter of a very, very difficult sequence of events for British history. And we've got probably 2 months of real hiatus to work out whether Boris has got the keys to the door of leaving Europe. So it's not going to be dull.
Well, this is it. Boris has come in, this morning our time, with a speech promising the outcome on the Brexit deal that Theresa May was unable to deliver. She was unable, of course, to get a new deal with Brussels. She was unable to pass the current deal through the cabinet. Boris seems to be one of life's eternal optimists, but how do you fare his chances, firstly, I guess, with dealing in Brussels?
Well, Brussels has made it very clear that they're not going to reopen the document. It's 585 pages, which was carefully negotiated over 2.5 years with the British government, as was. So they don't see any reason why they need to get back into the nitty-gritty, and I don't think they're going to do that, and there's certainly no time to do it either. So I think Boris's strategy is an very aggressive one. Basically, what he's done is his pitch to the British people is, come what may, I will get you out by October 31st. And he's saying that on purpose. He's saying that to put pressure both on the European Union and on the House of Commons, knowing full well that neither of them are going to give way. So I think all the signs are that we're going to be in for an early election. He's packed his cabinet full of very kind of aggressive Brexit right-wingers in order to neutralise the threat of Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party. And I think come back in a couple of months' time, we'll be talking about the next election.
Just expanding on that one a little bit, the cabinet clear-out that we mentioned there, how might that actually affect the party, and we're looking at voting around Brexit in the House of Commons?
Well, it's a very aggressive gesture. I mean, it's probably the most right-wing cabinet we've ever seen in British politics, and he's cleared out a lot of people who are very influential on the backbenches, not the least of which, you know, people like Philip Hammond, who was Chancellor all the way through Theresa May's reign. So he's got a whole lot of critics now on the backbenches. So, but he's doing it on purpose. It is an aggressive style of politics, the Trumpian gesture, if you like. And the gambit is really that, you know, if he can find some favour with the British public over the next month or two and with the British press, that this will neutralise the Brexit Party, that the British people will see in Boris a kind of renewed, bigger, optimistic figure, as you mentioned at the top of the piece, and that this will, you know, get them 40-45% of the votes and will lead to a majority in the House of Commons for a hard deal Brexit.
You mentioned, of course, a Trumpian figure, and Boris is often compared to the UK's Trump or the UK's version of Trump. I guess that makes going forward a little bit intriguing, because we've noticed a pattern with Donald Trump where things don't quite go his way. It's never his fault. It's not his fault that this didn't happen. It was the Democrats' fault. It was the fault of other Republicans that were unable to get this one through. So going forward with Boris, might we see that similar pattern where, although he's made promises that it seems nobody is ever going to be able to deliver on, he will still get through at a next election because it's everybody else's fault apart from his?
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I think that's the key analogy with Trump. I think the whole point about Boris is that he's just going to go barging on. He's not going to be listening to, you know, the critics on the backbenches or the harping from the media and so on. He's going to claim everything is a victory. Everything is a forward march towards Brexit and towards the greater glory of Boris and Great Britain. And that style, that political style of basically, you know, rebuffing everything and throwing everything to one side and in a sense, you know, it's a kind of, you know, it's a, what we call in the universities post-truth. It's a way of trying to shape an exterior environment which is favourable to you, even though the facts and the reality might be impinging against your own strategy. So it's got that very sort of similar feel to it. There are important differences, of course, between Trump and Boris. I mean, Trump is much more of a what we would call a populist figure. He kind of blames the establishment and Washington and all the rest of it. Whereas Boris is really much more of a kind of an establishment. His background is Eton and Oxford and all the rest of it. But that kind of way of trying to shape truth, shape outcomes by continually denying the kind of facts which are pressing against you, I think is really a very similar kind of phenomenon.
And in terms of the commitment that you mentioned there before, over the next couple of months he's committed, because, of course, October 31st, Halloween, they're promising to pull out in a no-deal Brexit if nothing can be reached with Brussels or the House of Commons. Now, you mentioned, of course, the possibility of a snap election. What is your feeling? Do you think it is inevitable we will have an election, a very rushed election, before October 31st with all this going on?
Well, I think that's my favoured analysis. But the other thing I mentioned in a piece in The Conversation the other day was that what's being discussed is potentially proroguing Parliament, which is a rather sort of posh way of basically saying suspending Parliament in favour of an executive action, which basically denies Parliament the right to sort of push back. That's very dangerous politics, of course. It's the kind of thing that we associate with, you know, extra kind of Argentina or sort of banana republics and so on. But I, you know, I don't think you can rule anything out at the moment. It's fever pitch in the UK, and you know, you've got some very aggressive characters now in the cabinet. You've got some people really pressing Boris to sort of forge on with this. So, I mean, this is a bit of a worry, and it's something which we're going to hear a lot about in the newspaper and over the media over the next couple of weeks, is whether suspension of Parliament is one of the avenues he wishes to take. If he doesn't take that road, and I do think that he will see sense on that one, then I think the only way forward is an election, probably an early one. See if he can cash in the honeymoon period. See if he can cancel out Nigel Farage rising popularity, and go to the British people with a very upbeat, positive, Brexit's good for you type message, and see if he can't get a majority.
And just as a final point, you mentioned that fever pitch around Brexit. I mean, UK politics, UK media, anything coming out of the UK right now is, of course, consumed with Brexit, Brexit, Brexit. Just on a couple of Johnson's other promises, as I say, as a final point, he's also mentioned delivering high-speed broadband, reversing education cuts, and there's been a bit of a, to-do when he was actually making a motorcade to Buckingham Palace around environmental activism as well, one of the most pressing issues, you would say, of our time. Are we likely to see any movement on any other issues in UK politics, or is it going to be Brexit for the foreseeable future?
Oh, no. I mean, it's Brexit, and everything depends, rises and falls on Brexit, not least the actual balance of payments in the UK and the tax receipts and all the prospects of cutting taxes and promoting welfare state and all the rest of it. It's all dependent on the Brexit question, because if they do crash out, this is going to, you know, a bomb under the British economy. It's going to be very harmful in terms of what the government can and cannot do. So I think this is the kind of ribbon and the dressing over the sort of cake, if you like, to mix a couple of metaphors there. But what Boris wants to do, he wants to put forward a very positive image to the British public. He doesn't want to be sort of Mr. Brexit, if you like. He wants to be Mr. Bright, Sunny Uplands for Britain and Brexit kind of a figure. And by doing that, what he hopes, and it's all very carefully crafted strategy, this, it's a big break from the Theresa May rather dour sort of grey days of, you know, maybe we'll be able to do this and maybe that. He wants to hit the British public in these first sort of 60 days with a really hard, upbeat, positive, optimistic message, because he thinks that if he does that, then he's much more likely to get some of the waverers who are thinking, well, maybe, maybe not Brexit, on his side. Because if you get them on the side because you've got an upbeat message about taxation and spending and all the rest of it, that might help his electoral prospects. So, but none of this is actually going to happen until and unless this issue is settled.
Unsurprising. Simon, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time this morning.
You're very welcome.